Hi, I'm Philip Shepherd. It's my pleasure to welcome you to this amazing once-in-a-lifetime conference, and especially to the Meditation and Breathwork channel, which I'm proud to be sponsoring because meditation and breathwork are essential to my teachings. I'm the founder of the Embodied Present Process, or TEP, which is based on my two books and is taught worldwide. And here's one thing I believe about meditation and breathwork. You limit your experience of both if you imagine that your mind is just the thoughts in your head. Your mind permeates your every cell. Every stirring of energy within your body is an expression of it. So, if you wish to calm your mind, the most direct route is to develop the skills that enable you to feel the body's energy and ground it in the spaciousness of the present. That's what my work is about. If that appeals to you, I hope you'll check out my two presentations, one on this channel and one on the main stage. You might also be interested in a special offer exclusive to the Embodiment Conference to listen to one of my embodied meditations for yourself for free. You can find a link to the special offer in the description of this presentation or on the show notes. And now, enjoy the presentation.
Jessica, welcome. My name's Alison. It's a real pleasure to be hosting you today. I know that you've been quite involved with the conference and helping out with some of the other panels and things. I'm also a breath worker, so I'm really excited. I do transformational breath, so I'm really excited to be listening to your presentation today. I'm really looking forward to it. So we've just had our sponsor video. Can I just check, would you like to have some people coming into the room with you, or are you okay just to be talking to me so you've got a bit of an audience? What suits you best?
Well, I'm happy to have some people come in if they would like to come in. It's what would serve everyone. I'm feeling everybody. And I love seeing people as well. So
whatever. Okay, so for now we can put you as the main speaker, and then we can see if some people want to come in. So that should be fine. And I'll just before we begin, I just want to remind everybody, if you have any questions for Jessica as we go through, just to please put them into the Q&A box, and that allows us to see what's coming in and things don't get lost in the chat. So that's quite helpful for us. You can also upvote things. So if somebody asks a question that you would really like to have answered as well, you can let us know so that all of the best questions kind of rise to the top. So we make sure that those ones are put forward to Jessica. So Jessica, I'd really like to welcome you today. It's a real honor. It's very exciting to have you here. Jessica's going to be talking to us today about elevated breathwork, ethics to enlightenment. She's the founder, spiritual director, and principal teacher of the Inspiration Consciousness School. And she uses integrative breathwork, psychodynamic principles, spiritual practices, the Enneagram, and established and emergent wisdom teachings. And Jessica assists people in cultivating embodied awareness and consciousness through all stages of life. So I'm really excited about this presentation. So welcome, Jessica. I'm just going to hand over to you. And then we need to wrap up by about 5 to the hour. But if we can have an extra 5 minutes, that gives us time for questions. But I can give you a time check if we're going to give it a little bit late. But over to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And thank you to everyone who's here listening to this session. Because you are, and each one of us is, and every aspect of creation is a gift to life, to all of us. You are, each one of us is, filled with boundless potential. So this session is dedicated to accessing, to learning how to access, unlock, and unleash that potential in very immediate ways, instantaneous ways within us, and then to learn how to work with it, play with it, create with it in very nuanced, integrated, masterful ways of true development of our real self. Now, in order to be able to do this during this session and throughout a lifetime, because I don't think that we actually understand, most of us, the potential that really dwells within us. So getting to that place where we can access that potential immediately and then learn how to develop ourselves in a way that we can work with it, play with it, create with it, and build with it. In order to do that, first, we need to be able to dissolve some of the delusions and the inner splits that we hold within our psyche. The intrapsychic splits, they're called in psychodynamically or in psychology. These splits limit our potential and they divide us against parts of ourselves, against each other, and really against the world, and even divide us from the source of life itself. Whether you call that source love, or you call it the force, or you call it the divine, or you call it biochemistry or quantum physics, whatever it is that is that source, these intrapsychic splits also divide us against that. So let's consider this. We each begin life by taking a breath. Our entire physical, emotional, cognitive energies are working together integratively in that moment with our essence, if you will. Some people might call it spirit. Some people might call it consciousness. Some people might call it energy. All of those things are working together in that moment, playing together, creating together to take a breath. Think of it this way. The Big Bang, everything literally is one. It's not a spiritual concept. Not even a metaphoric concept. Physically, everything was and remains one. It was one as the singularity. It moves out through existence. It creates everything in existence. It creates us, our body, heart, head, spirit, and it breathes us. It is breath. So we are all integrated. We are wired for integration. We are wired for embodiment from the very first moment of our lives. Now, the implications of this have been known throughout time. And now, because modern science is catching up with that ancient wisdom, we are beginning to understand some of the implications. We certainly understand it in terms of things like physical well-being, emotional well-being, emotional regulation, neural regulation, calmness, stimulating polyvagal response, opening up into expanded states of awareness even. We do understand, and we're beginning to understand the science behind all of that. And I would still offer to you that breath work is in its early stages, because the understanding and the implications of the fact that that moment of the Big Bang, with that everything is one, is actually arising, trying to arise in our very first breath in full wholeness and integration. And that if we could be one with that, not divided against it, not contracted against it throughout a life, the potential of which we all dream in our wildest imaginations, and we create stories and movies about what's possible, and we, in the quiet of our own bedrooms and walks and journaling and meditations, can feel something. That is true. And it's not something outside of ourselves. It's an embodied reality. So that breath actually has the capacity to connect us with our unconditioned self, our Big Bang self, the sea of potential in the brain, in the heart, and in the gut, because the respiratory circuits infuse every part of the brain and the heart and the belly. Now, using this understanding, we can begin to dissolve some of these intrapsychic splits and delusions so that we can awaken to our full potential. And the first split that I want to name that is a falsehood is that there's higher consciousness and then there's the body. Here's a radical statement being said maybe for the first time here in this embodiment conference. Embodiment is higher consciousness. Take a deep breath, let that land. The higher consciousness that we seek, higher consciousness is embodiment. Embodiment is higher consciousness, not just a part of it. This is what was meant to be. Everything was working, playing together to take that breath. Nothing was being left out of it, and it was emanating from the source, and that source is everything. And that's higher consciousness, that's awareness, that's infinite intelligence. And it is in our body through the dynamism of our breath, not as a static state, as a living, moving, dynamic, ever-evolving, unfolding phenomenon. Secondly, second delusion, intrapsychic split we're dissolving is, consciousness is breathing and conscious breath is breathing when we choose to consciously breathe in a way that it is not divided against any part of ourself. Anything that we experience, any sensation, any feeling, any perception, any awareness, any gift, any wound, any sadness, any joy, anything that you could name, confusion, clarity, brilliance, dullness, anything that you can name, any body part, conscious breathing is not divided against any aspect of ourself, not our shadow, not our light, which are the same thing actually in the end. It is a highly integrated phenomenon. Conscious breathing is an invitation to not only know that we should not reject ourselves and that it would be better if we didn't, but to actually physiologically and in an embodied way cease the attack on ourselves of rejection. It immediately invites us into integration and welcoming. Third intrapsychic split we want to dissolve is that conscious breathing is not divided against anyone else. Now, the implications of this are really go all the way to world peace. So for those of you that have dreamed of world peace, and those of you who are going to consider this for the first time, really, let's explore this. First of all, when you breathe consciously, it becomes less and less easy to hold a judgment about another person, to hold a grudge against another person, to even hold anger against another person. Something else begins to want to happen. First of all, the polyvagal response gets stimulated and we become our best version. We become the best version of ourself, our real self. And that self, we are interconnected. There is only one. We are mammals and we do love mirroring and eye contact and connection, whether we are introverts or whether we are extroverts, another psychic split that needs to be dissolved. Here, let's talk about that the polyvagal response and the emotional regulation that happens through conscious breathing has us wanting to connect rather than defend or promote or attack. And so we become more creative, more awake, more calm about how to be present to another. We seek engagement rather than discord. And the implications go even further than that. Since our brain for survival is wired about in-group and out-group, that structure is still there. And so that was a recognition that you are from my town and you're the people that attack my town and I can recognize you. And so I bond with the people that are from my town. We still have that survival instinct. So anytime, which is for most of us a lot of the time, that we are in fear, whether that fear is very personal, like fear for our safety, fear for our health, or whether that fear is interpersonal, whether we're afraid somebody doesn't love us or they're going to reject us or they don't think kindly of us or they're not going to approve of us, or whether it's a more global fear, like we're not one of the lucky ones, we're not one of the fortunate people. Whatever kind of thought you might have about that, life is against us. Whenever there is fear, the brain is going to be more wired to what is safe for me as a person and what is not safe, what's my in-group and what's my out-group. And often we will cut off connection with people and places and things that really could support us. We're not seeing clearly. We're seeing from a place of fear. We're seeing from a place where the brain wants to go into fight, flight, freeze, or faint. Here's the thing that happens in conscious breathing. You can pose an inner and an outer group with any groups of people. You can, for instance, say that I speak French and those people speak English. The French are more elegant about this and the Americans are more something about that. Now, listen, not to not recognize that there are differentiations. Differentiations, we are all unique and there's a unique individuality that develops and there's a uniqueness that arises between any two people and a uniqueness that arises in a land or there's a uniqueness that arises in a group. It's the way that we relate to those things. So if we relate to it as othering, we other and we say, not as good, we're better, we cut off the potential for a kind of co-creativity, which research already shows us that collective wisdom, collective creativity is much more powerful and wise and enduring than just the individual. So you can pose in an in-group and out-group about language, culture, socioeconomic status, political orientation. We certainly see that play out in our world all the time. Religion, atheists, agnostics, skin color. We know the pain of that. We can also pose it about gender. And we know the pain of that. I can only think, and I've thought about this for a long time, of one group of people in which it's impossible to create an in-group and an out-group. And that is the group of breathers. Because there's only one group of breathers and it's everyone. So think about the implications of conscious breathing for cooperation, for collective functioning, collective creation, for world peace. Think about if everybody was doing conscious breathing as a regular part of their day. Fourth, we need to dissolve the intrapsychic split of ourselves and nature or the earth or the environment. So we are not divided against this earth. It is our home. And metaphorically, for certain, we know that. And some of us actually so love being in nature that we can even feel it and sense it, the beauty of it, the sensuousness of it, the belongingness of it. Let me take it a step further. This is an oxygen planet. And that cycle of oxygen runs through everything in our lives. It runs through us. It runs through every creature. Creatures in the water, creatures in the air, creatures on the land. It runs through the plants, the trees, the things that we eat, the things that flower and bring beauty, the medicines of the world, the grasses. It runs through the mushrooms that have such medicine for this planet, medicine from healing things to helping us remember who we really are. That oxygen, and I should, when I say oxygen, it's an oxygen planet. It's an oxygen, carbon dioxide, nitrogen planet. And we are running that oxygen, carbon dioxide, nitrogen with all of these things in different ratios. It is also running through the mycelium, the most ancient organism on the planet. I take a step and I am standing on 300 miles of network of mycelium. You take a step, 300 miles of mycelium network with incredible healing properties, holding the planet together, the phoenix of the planet, the death and rebirth regenerator, that is also taking in carbon dioxide and working with oxygen and nitrogen and our breath and all of that. And lastly, we are not divided against the source, for all of the reasons that I've already said. Higher consciousness or the source is embodiment. We are literally the expression of creation. We are creation itself. So it is a very old notion, which I would love to hold dearly with respect for all the ways that it served people through history. And I would like to respectfully dissolve the ways that it has harmed us to think that the physical plane is lesser than, and there is a heaven or a nirvana or an astral plane or a Valhalla or whatever you might like to call it, that is better, that we will feel freer, that we will be rid of these mortal whatevers they may be. That is not true. We are the expression of creation. And everything that we can imagine could happen for us in nirvana, in the astral plane, in heaven, or in consciousness, or in the absolute, or however we would want to describe it. Everything that we can imagine could happen there that isn't happening here. I want this session to be a dedication to the end of that intrapsychic split, to the end of that delusion. All the things that we know of, can imagine, they are possible right here, right now. The more that we are able to move out of fear and the in-group, out-group, which operates even with regards to thought forms and orientations and perceptions about life, the more we will see that everything that we can dream of, can envision, is here, and it's possible to embody it, because embodiment is higher consciousness. In fact, the less we're embodied, the more we are taken away from true integration and true higher consciousness. Now, breath work is a practice. Breath work is a spectrum of breathing practices, ranging from simple cortisol resetting, inhale, relax on the exhale techniques, to kind of mindfulness awareness techniques, to techniques that are applied to specific therapeutic things like asthma, like inattention, not being able to pay attention, like anxiety, other kinds of, like being cold or being hot. There's therapeutic interventions, even to the point where breath work can be used for healing of the psyche, and it can produce emotional regulation. It can reduce or even dissolve or heal completely trauma, psychic trauma, emotional trauma, physical trauma. So breath, and then at the far end of the spectrum, we have the capacity of breath work to not only bring us into embodiment and our true nature in this moment, but to open us up, therefore, to the immediate access of the potential that dwells within each one of us. Now, breathwork embraces, it's a highly integrative modality in that it embraces, again, as we said earlier, every part of us. So yes, we have, most of us, incurred trauma, either personally or not, or certainly collectively. In fact, at the time that this session is being recorded, we are globally going through a pandemic, another wave of awareness about oppression and racial injustice and other forms of oppression. So we all are, and we don't know what's going to happen, and the brain doesn't like uncertainty. So it will try to figure out what is going to happen and probably grasp onto a kind of limited perspective. And many of us were hurt very deeply in our lives as children and even as adults in ways that have left us not trusting our bodies, not trusting our own feelings, sensations, awarenesses, not trusting our potential. So trauma can also be impacted in an accelerated rate by conscious breathing that is wise and nuanced and applied in a particular way there. And then, of course, there is the awakening to ourselves of this deeply potentiated state of that higher consciousness as love, as wisdom, as presence, can keep creating, can keep evolving, can keep co-creating, can go where no one has ever gone before, can be highly emergent, creating things that wouldn't not have otherwise be possible. Conscious breathing, therefore, dissolves the tension of the opposites, and it dissolves it immediately, or it starts working on it immediately. It brings us to a place where we're not thinking this or that, right or wrong, good or bad. We are in a highly present, creative state in which even things that hurt, like for instance, somebody made a decision yesterday, or a group of people did, that has really impacted me. I felt my heart is very tender. I feel hurt. I feel sadness because it means sort of a kind of changing a course of something that I was very invested in. And so, yes, we can feel these things. And conscious breathing does not reject us because we feel that. Nor, because we feel that, does it reject our true nature. Our whole nature is really what I should say, our embodied higher consciousness. Conscious breathing, every conscious breath is connecting us with that unconditioned self and that sea of potential within us, without judgment, without aversion, without attachment, without fear. It's connecting us with all of it and holding with tenderness anything that is wounded, that is scared, that is angry, that is not participating in life fully. And it holds all of that and says, tell me who you really are, what you really want, and let me show you what you're capable of, because it's far more than you can ever imagine. So it dissolves the tension of the opposites. It accesses a creativity, a third possibility, a fourth possibility, a fifth possibility. It spans the spectrum of non-ordinary states of consciousness and behavior and planting a garden and self-care and all the things that we need to develop in ourselves throughout a lifetime. There's a beautiful Zen teaching that just goes like this. Drinking this tea, I stop the war. Now, what that is saying is that the quality of my presence and not being divided against any part of myself. I'm thirsty, I drink this cup of tea. What way do I drink this cup of tea? Am I here? Am I here? Am I getting that I belong here? If I am not divided against myself, the potential is so huge that it contributes to the cessation of dividing against each other that even creates war. So now we can even say higher consciousness is embodiment. Embodiment is higher consciousness. And now we can say that breathing is our most immediate, accessible, powerful way to be embodied, to remember about embodiment, and to develop embodiment. Now we're going to do a long practice for about 15 or 20 minutes. And let me tell you why we're doing the type of practice that we're going to do. Conscious breathing feels so good. I mean, if we just breathe together for a few minutes, everyone's going to start to feel more relaxed. Everyone's going to start to feel more resources within themselves. Everybody's going to feel a greater energy. Some of us might become aware of things that have been buried, like anxieties, like pains in our body, like heart hurt that we might have. Some of us might be contacting trauma, so there would be tenderness around that, whether that was personal trauma or collective trauma. Yes, that might happen. And within the context of conscious breathing that is regulated and self-regulated, I want to say, and we'll say a little bit about that in a moment, we actually find the place where we are present to the vicissitudes of our life and life in general without feeling diminished in any way, where there is almost like a fear forward, joy forward, everything in the present moment and the next moment. And it's really, really beautiful. And at the same time, we need to be able to feel into the higher aspects of ourselves. So we're going to be holding in this breathwork journey both the tenderness and the unconditioned self. And we are also going to be holding the sensations of our body, the feelings of our heart, the awarenesses of our head, the potential of our essence or spirit, as some of you would call it, and the actual lived experience that this can happen in every moment. So the last thing that I'm going to say right before we begin the practice is, why is this so important? Is because breath work does make us feel good. And sometimes because of that, we stop short of our real potential. Our real potential is going to require, it's gold beyond measure, and it requires the building of a palace, of a structure, an intrapsychic structure, a body that can support the gargantuan, boundless energies of these higher potentials, in a sense. And so breath work, we need to not just be going for the, it feels so great and there's this release and I feel so good about myself. That's beautiful. Let's have that happen. Needs to happen. What needs to happen in the breathwork movement is an introduction of a sense of real development that has taken place in spiritual lineages, for instance, or with a human development, human character, over decades of a life of focus, of nuance, of learning, of curiosity, of inquiry, of prowess, of mastery. These things we have to develop every cell, every feeling, every awareness. And so, my friends, I'm going to give us a practice that humbly tries to give us a taste of the kinds of things that we might want to be paying more attention to when we use breathwork, so that we really are contacting both the unconditional and the conditioned self, and we are continuing to stay connected to that unconditional, and we are developing the conditional self so that it becomes a beautiful instrument over a lifetime, a well-tuned instrument, a disciplined instrument, a discipled instrument to what we want more than anything else, which is to be love. And that love is wisdom and its power. So let's practice now together, if you will join me.
Jessica, just apologies for interrupting, just to give you a time check. We've got about 15 minutes until we need to be starting to wrap up. So just to flag
Thank
that.
You. Thank you so much. And we will do a 15-minute practice, and then we'll open up for some questions. So, all right, my beautiful friends. So close your eyes. If you want to keep them open, you can. Do whichever helps you really be able to focus on your interior self and also be awake and alert, okay? And soften your belly. And feel the breath be able to deepen just because you softened your belly. Oh my goodness, the breath, the life force of the breath is so powerful. We, thinking we can control it, is a really, we can control it in the sense that we can practice with it. The breath is bigger than any control that we can do. It's just waiting to rush into us. So my first offering to you is, let us shift from the idea of taking a deep breath to the idea of receiving our breath. Receive the life force of the breath. Soften your belly. Allow the diaphragm more room to contract and relax so that it can pull in the air. Then feel how with that more air, you can be a little bit more aware of how your rib cage wants to expand on the inhale too. First, the belly expands, then the rib cage. And lastly, the chest rises. Many of you already know this. Let's just practice it together. And then when we breathe out, the chest lets go, the rib cage lets go, the belly relaxes. So let's establish that rhythm. Let's establish that awareness. And let's invite in right now that every sensation, every feeling, every awareness that you have, every image, every color, every vision that you have, all of it is welcomed in. There is no, in fact, this is the end of self-rejection. This is the sacred time to be. So now we're breathing, we're receiving the breath. Now we're going to partner the breath a little bit more by just gently taking a deeper breath with each receiving. And as we allow in that little bit more of breath, turn your attention to the sensations that your breath is creating. Now, there are millions of sensations. This is it. This is embodiment. This is higher consciousness. And we have been poverty-stricken, being divided against it. Feel into those sensations, inhabit them. the movement in your rib cage, the air on the tip of your nostrils, the discomfort in your shoulder, the sudden awareness of a place that feels cool or hot, rushing of energy in your body. There are trillions of sensations right now just in your body alone, and conscious breathing is bringing you into contact with them. Inhabit them. Every one of them is the Big Bang. Every one of them is life force. Every one of them is filled with energy. Inhabit them. Do not reject them. Keep breathing. Keep breathing consciously, I meant to say. Thank you. Keep breathing consciously. Stay with it. Tingling may start to arise in your body from this heightened awareness and energizing with the breath. Rushing of hot and cold, a little tiny bit of dizziness. Stay with it. Inhabit the sensations. They are all wisdom. They are all of them are wisdom. All of them are power. All of them are life force. Inhabit them. Allow them to live. Allow them to be. Let us not squelch them anymore. They are held right now with tenderness by the breath and energy, unconditional, boundless energy. As you're feeling the sensations, I just want to invite you to feel in particular your pelvis, where the diaphragm sort of moves up and down in the abdominal cavity and the pelvis. Feel your hip bones, feel your pelvis, feel your sits bones, and feel how your spine is rising up from that pelvis. You might even want to move just a little bit with the breath, feeling the spine as a kind of flowing wave rising up from the pelvis. Oh, my friends, there are treasures beyond measure to be had from the sensations of breathing, just from the pelvis alone, just from the spine alone, let alone all the other sensations. So now, in this awareness, I invite you to say internally or outside, aloud, every cell of this body. While we're breathing, partnering the breath, receiving and partnering the breath, just say internally or externally, every cell of this body. We're ending the rejection and we're embracing the intelligence. And we're going to start listening. Beautiful. Now turn your attention as you continue to receive and partner the breath. Bring your attention to the center of your chest, your heart center. And when you breathe out, as you relax on the exhale, I want you to imagine that you knew, I could announce to you right now that every child on this planet that was going to be born from this moment forward would have their first breath in utter love. That breath would be held as sacred by the parents, by the birth attendants, by everybody on this planet. And then every breath after that would be held as sacred. And we would create life around that knowledge. Like, how would you feel if you knew that was suddenly going to be happening? Let your heart feel that right now. That hope, that joy, that faith, that relief, that possibility. Right, feel that heart. Continuing to receive and partner the breath. Get that about you, about your first breath, which is being recreated in every moment. Because breathing is at the very bottom of all our neural substrates. It's the first thing we ever did. So every time we consciously breathe, we're going underneath all of the conditioned self to the unconditioned self, to your first breath. I am receiving you this way now. I celebrate you. This breath is absolutely sacred, and every breath of your life is. Let your heart feel what it feels in response to this truth. whether right now tears are falling from your eyes, there's a smile on your face, there's a worry, there's a sadness about what didn't happen, there's an anger about what didn't happen, there's a hope about the future, whatever your heart is feeling, the breath is tender with it, and it's inviting you to remember your unconditioned self simultaneously. Feel what your heart feels. And while you're doing it, we're probably mostly centered on the front of our chest sensation-wise. Breathe so that you can feel the where your heart and the plexus here, the thymus gland and all of this nerve ganglia is connected to your spine. So when you breathe and the awareness here, it's not just the front of you, it's going to the back, to your spine. And then guess what? Because it's at your spine, it goes up and it goes down to the pelvis. So you can even feel how the heart and all your feelings are informing your brain and your pelvis and your gut. And now in the embrace of all those feelings, say inwardly or out loud if you want, every feeling of this heart, every feeling of this heart, we're embracing. Now bring your awareness to the center of your head, continuing to receive and partner the breath. Be aware that every time you breathe, the brain is animated. It's fed by the heart and the pelvis through the spine. It's fed by the sensations that come in, and it's animated by the breath. So you could almost think that every time you breathe in or out, the Valsavik wave, it's called, lights up the brain, charges it. Let yourself feel that light, that lighting up. Do you remember all the times that you have figured something out in your life? When you were a child, you discovered something. Oh, look what's here, Mom, under this rock. Or you figured out how to write your name, or you figured out how to tie your shoe, or you figured out what your friend needed and gave it to them. And as an adult, how we figure things out, we discover things, we work for decisions. You know what it feels like when we figure something out, when we recognize it? It's exciting, it's thrilling, it's exhilarating. It's an enlightening, it's a lighting up. Honor that in yourself. Physiologically, your brain lights up, and mind, which is actually body, heart, head, mind becomes awake and aware and in a state of discovery. So we're breathing and the brain is lighting up. You might even see light. You might see a clear light. You might see a white light. You might see a beautiful, clear, dark, black light dissolving the tension of the opposites into presence. And so we don't have to be afraid of any thought that we have, even the fear-based ones, because they're being held with tenderness and you are being connected to this lighting up at the same time. So now we can say every awareness of this head, every awareness of this head. And now lastly, bring your attention to the air right outside of your nose. The air all around you is energy. There is nothing but energy. Einstein told us that. The Tamil Yoga Siddhas told us that. Tirumular told us 18,000 years ago, energy, energy, nothing exists but energy. So there's energy. Now you're receiving the breath and you're partnering it. And guess what? It is not that the energy of out here is giving you energy. Your nose is energy. The inside of your nose is energy. Your lungs are energy. Everything's energy. There's nothing but energy. So what's happening is that energy is moving against energy. Energy is caressing energy. Energy is making love to energy. Energy is interrelating with itself. And I want to invite us to be aware of that now, just for a minute. The breath comes in, you can feel it in your nostrils, and it's energy and energy. It's alchemy. It's magic. It's spirit. its essence. It's God or biophysics saying to you, live, be yourself, be you, be this what you are, which is me, and it is you. It is we, as Dan Siegel would say. There is only one, and it relates to itself. And now you can say every atom of this essence. You can say it out loud or internally, every atom of this essence. Now, with the awareness of those sensations, those feelings, the illumination and the energy, take a very deep breath in your body. Those of you that know what, you know, integrative breathing, transformational breathing, holotropic breathing, rebirthing, liberation breathing, therapeutic breathing, all of those kinds of breathing, coherent breathing, you know what it is. Now take a deeper breath with all of those awarenesses simultaneously. And know that there is so much magic to come. Keep breathing. We're going to breathe for one more minute continuously without pause. No pause between the inhale and exhale or exhale and inhale. The integration of sensation, feeling, awareness, spirit embodied in every action. Wash your dishes from here. Pick up your children from here. Pet your animals, your companion animals from here. Sweep the floor from here. Type on your computer. Live from here. Dance from here. Make love from here. Do everything from here. Reconstellate your life from within the atmosphere of conscious breathing, where both the tenderness and vulnerability of the uniqueness that we are and the potential of what we are is constantly connected with the unconditioned self. And then we will begin to be having a field of breath work that is not just in its young stages, but is starting to move into the place where it's not only about release and balance and regulation, but it's about development of our most deep potential. It is higher consciousness as embodiment right now with every breath immediately. I am so thrilled that you've been here. I really am. And I just know that each of you has like a circle of influence, people that you and places and things and creatures and plants that you will touch that I never will. And I just wish you the utmost blessing to receive this medicine, this nutrient, live it, embodiment, breath, higher consciousness, love. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. So if we have any time at all, I'll take a question.
We do. We have a couple of questions, Jessica, and thank you for that. That was incredibly beautiful. I really personally loved it. I'm sure everybody else did. That was an amazing practice. So I have, there's two questions that have come in. So one is, can you talk a little about your perspective on the higher purpose of COVID-19 in the world right now, given that it targets our capacity to breathe?
Absolutely, an incredible question. Thank you, whoever asked that. Listen, friends, we are having the shadow of breathlessness erupt in our world. And you know, it's always been there. It's been there in the form of disease and illness. So what's happened now is it's come up in three stages. One is a worldwide illness that is everybody's vulnerable to, prime ministers and essential, what we used to call untouchables, which now are essential workers, thank God, right? It touches everybody, and there's the shadow of breathlessness, but also cystic fibrosis and pulmonary disease, all of that stuff that's ever been there, pneumonia. Then we have the next wave of oppression, racial injustice, George Floyd saying, I can't breathe, heard all over the world. but he's only one person, or he is one person that is speaking for thousands that have gone through, tens of thousands that have gone through that experience. People of color, women, elderly, you know, just oppression of all kinds. And then we now have the awareness of environmental imbalance and breathlessness, the fires in Australia, billion animals, you know, suffocated, burned, people that can't breathe have to stay in their homes, typhoons, hurricanes. Okay. So here's the thing that I just want to say, and I know it's may not be the way everybody would say it, but I feel it is the actual place where we're dissolving the intrapsychic tension. We are aware of breathlessness now. The shadow is out in the open. Let's work with it. But please, my friends in the higher consciousness movement, in the, you know, human potential movement, let us not fall prey to the thing where we say, hey, isn't it wonderful that this is happening? Because now I have more time to myself. Now I'm learning how to do self-care. Now we're pausing and breathing. I don't need one more person to die for me to learn those lessons, and neither do you. No, it's not wonderful that those things are happening. What presence and love are is that we get the opportunity in each moment to choose to awaken in response to the conditions that are happening in our lives. We get the chance to choose to become love in response to those. And so, yes, I too have had wonderful things happen. I've been able to take care of things I hadn't been able to take care of. And I cherish all of that. And I would be happy for this pandemic to be over now, and the fires and the earth to be okay now, and racial injustice to end now, and still work on my self-care or my book I have to finish or whatever it is. Let us not get into dualistic thinking about this. Let us reap the benefits that have happened by embracing the shadow, understanding and developing the parts of ourselves we were not taking care of. But let's not make it conditional that it depends on this COVID thing. Let that end today. Let's figure it out. And let's figure out how to live a life where we're healthy on every level, inner and outer. And that would be my thing that I would share with you, so that we can move from a world of breathlessness to a world of breathing.
Beautiful. Thank you. I'm going to pick up one more question just because it's been upvoted. And that question is, why does it make me cry?
Oh, because you're a beautiful person. It makes you cry because you have a heart. It makes you cry because the breath helps you not reject or shame, a word that we haven't used yet. Shame yourself anymore. It helps you not have to defend and create an image for other people. It brings you into a state of wholeness, and there are tears in your heart. And some of them are tears of sadness, tears for the George Floyds of the world, tears for beloveds that you've lost in one way or another, tears for potential from the past that didn't get to be, tears for harm that you incurred. Some of them are tears of joy. Sometimes it's just the recognition of, oh my God, what I thought was possible is possible. I mean, we have such short time. I could go on and on about this, but you have a heart and your heart feels, and let yourself cry. Those tears are a doorway to valuing each moment as so precious. So breathwork will help us, you know, cry and laugh and exult and learn to be still and all of it. And thank you so much, all of you who asked that question. Thank you so much. And I guess I should just say, it will also, for many of us, it's because if we keep doing breath work, it will bring up the wounds that might take us years and years to work with in therapy, and we will be able to work with them much more quickly, still with a lot of care and taking our time. But, you know, sometimes people say after a breathwork session, that was like 6 months of therapy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, please let yourself cry. Welcome these parts of yourselves. The breath will hold all of it.
Thank you, Jessica. You're getting huge amounts of love in the chat, particularly for the explanation around the tears. And I think you've really touched a lot of people with that and with everything else that you've talked about today. So thank you so much. I am going to bring us to a close. I do want to mention that Jessica is very kindly doing a special offer for us. I think Joe's going to put it into the chat for us, if you could please, Joe. This is a workshop with Jessica, Russ Hudson and Helen Palmer. And it's to create an exploratory emotion and experiential training in awakening consciousness, which sounds fantastic, using the wisdom of the Enneagram. So very kind and generous offer there. You can see the details as to how to access that. Jessica, I will come back to you in just a moment for the last word. But I just want to remind everybody to please join the Facebook groups, the one for this channel, Meditation and Breathwork, the Embodiment Conference one, as well as the Coffee Breaks. It's a great chance to talk to other people, to meet other people, and to share your learnings. I'd also like to thank Jo for doing the tech for us today. She's been amazing in the background and couldn't manage without her. I'd like to thank our sponsor for the channel, Philip Shepherd. And also just to mention what we've got coming up in this channel. So at 4 o'clock, there's the Realization Process with Judith Blackstone. At 6 o'clock, we've got a keynote with Stephen Porges on embodiment through the lens of the polyvagal theory. And I know that you mentioned that earlier on, so I'm sure that one will be of interest to lots of people. And at 8 o'clock, Anthony Appaniano speaking on embodiment, reclaiming innocence. And of course, that's just this channel. There's all the other channels for you still to dig in for the rest of today and tomorrow. If you'd like to own all of the talks, there are over 1,000 speakers have presented at the conference. Great opportunity to upgrade, and it's cheaper. I think it doubles in price after the conference finishes. So now's a good time to grab that. And there is also a by donation option if people are struggling with the money to come up with the money for it. So they can make a donation to particular charities. So thank you everyone for joining us today. I think this has been an incredible session. Jessica, I'm going to come back to you for the last word. We're asking all of our speakers to give us their top tip on how to remain embodied.
Breath embodied us, and it will continue to do so. Breath was what brought us into the body in an integrated way. And the more that we can join with it consciously, the more we will live as embodiment. And embodiment is higher consciousness. And I just want to also say thank you to everyone who's joined here. And I wish you so many blessings. And Joe, and also, was there a way, did Joe put up the website that people could
put your website up? There's all your details of that, absolutely. So people can just copy that now. And
so I just want to thank the Embodiment Conference. I want to thank you, Mark Walsh, amazing human being. Definitely turn in for Stephen. He's a dear friend of mine and amazing. And many blessings. Breathe on, beautiful people, breathe on.
Thank you, Jessica. It's an absolute joy to meet you today, Jessica. I really loved it for myself personally, and I know on behalf of everyone else here. So thank you all for joining us, and I look forward to seeing you at some later sessions.